Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up tomorrow, New York City's newest deputy mayor, Stephen Goldsmith, and Wednesday, the outgoing New York City schools chancellor, Joel Klein. A lot to listen for every day here on the Brian Lehrer Show at 10 a.m. And before the break, we were talking about the 40% of Americans who think marriage is obsolete, at least according to this latest Time Pew study. But for some of those who are married, there's a relatively new complication. Social media. Some believe that Facebook and Twitter are an easy way to connect with old and new flames and lead to cheating on your significant other. A pastor in New Jersey recently called Facebook a portal to infidelity and told married church leaders to delete their accounts and others to share their passwords with their spouses. So listeners, we want to hear from you on this. Where do you draw the line when it comes to social media and your relationships, your flirtations even? Are you disturbed that your spouse friended their high school sweetheart on Facebook, or do you trust they're just catching up with old friends? How do you define this type of cheating? Is it when Facebook friendships develop into an actual extramarital sexual relationship, or does a series of flirtatious tweets count as being unfaithful on some level too? How has social media affected your relationship? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are you like Elaine, who wrote, "I go on my old man's Facebook and delete all the girls I don't know"? Or do you agree more with Ijaz, who writes, "Our relationship has grown stronger due to Facebook. We both know each other's password, but I never check her history. I trust her, and she trusts me." These are some comments coming in on our Facebook page about this. So listeners, go there and post a thought on our wall or give us a call and weigh in on social media and infidelity on the air. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Alton Abramowitz is with us for this. He's the National Vice President of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. Alton, thanks for coming on WNYC. Hi.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And your organization surveyed divorce lawyers, and here's an eye-popping stat. Over 80% of them say they have seen an increase in the number of cases using social media evidence during the past 5 years. What kinds of evidence are we talking about?
Flirtations, people engaging in adulterous relationships, describing their sexual exploits, photographs of postings of spouses of our clients online with their new significant others, of which the spouse is unaware. Talking about people they've met in bars and airports and all of the kinds of places. It's really quite a phenomenon. In fact, one of the first things we're now advising clients to do when they come in and retain us is close down their Facebook page.
Wow. And in divorce cases, where do you find most people draw the line? You know, what would count as evidence? Is it when a social media connection leads to a literal affair, or is it also about inappropriate messages or just online flirting?
Well, I think it's all of the above. You know, marriage is built on the concept of trust. And when you see things going on online between your spouse and somebody else that's betraying your trust, you're undermining the entire social fabric of the marriage relationship.
So in Facebook terms, be careful who you poke.
Oh, absolutely.
Alex in Flushing. Alex, you're on WNYC from Flushing. Hi.
Hello, is that me?
Yes, Alex.
Hi, it's Alejandro. But
Forgive me.
Hi. Actually, trust is key. I agree. I have a beautiful relationship with my wife for 12 years. We have been together for 1 year before that. Never really arguments. There was a problem with her childhood. She had issues. Her parents had been divorced, and her father alcoholic and problems like that. We have a relationship has been always strong until August when she started to play with Facebook and start finding people from high school and met a former boyfriend then. She was very excited and contacted him. She even told me about it. We trusted each other and told her, yeah, sure, go ahead, see him. I didn't see any harm on it, you know.
She told you because there was no immediate intent for this to become a fling, just catching up with somebody, yes?
Exactly. She wanted to remember the good old times when she was in high school, contacting with friends, and in this case was a former boyfriend. Anyway, they saw each other. That very first time, they cheated on me. She cheated on me.
Wow.
I didn't know then. A couple of months passed, and she did it again. And then she told me, and of course my marriage ended right there. We're not divorced, but we're separated. Very painful story, of
it
course.
It sounds horrible. And so do you maintain a Facebook account after that?
No, I have never had one. She didn't even have one. I don't know if she has one now.
Uh-huh.
She actually borrowed an account from her mom, actually.
It was new at that time.
Yeah, and she is, the interesting thing, she always repudiated all this technology. And we were always, trusting each other. So there was no me spying on her to see what she was doing with her former boyfriend,
yes,
because I trusted her 100%.
And then
but hey, trust can end at some point, I guess.
Yes, it can. Alejandro, thank you very much for calling and sharing that story. And it's a very sad story, but Alton Abramowitz, as a matrimonial lawyer, I have a feeling that you've heard a lot of things like that before.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, it's all too common a story where people connect with someone from their past with whom they had some kind of attraction, and after all these years act on the impulse that they may not have acted on earlier on in this their relationships.
Though I hear a story like that and I think about the strength of the relationship and who knows what it really was or whether she was looking for, you know, some other kind of outlet anyway, or was dissatisfied with something for whatever reason. And if it wasn't through Facebook, it would have been through something else. Do you think? Or do you think that Facebook actually adds to pressure on marriage in a way that didn't exist before?
I agree with your first assessment. If it wasn't Facebook, it would have been something else, because there was probably something underlying the basic foundations of the marriage to begin with that would have allowed her to think in her mind that it was okay for her to go ahead and stray or to justify it in her own mind. It's just that social media, Facebook, and LinkedIn and places like that make it that much easier to connect with people that you know, with whom you feel safe with in carrying on these illicit relationships.
Joe on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Brian. I found this phenomenon. I've been on Facebook for about 4 years now. In the first 1 or 2 years, as I was collecting old high school friends, I'm 45 years old, so I was collecting old friends that I haven't seen in 20 years. All of them, I'd say maybe 9 out of 10 of them, particularly the women, would tell me how unhappy their marriages were and how lucky I was to be single. And more than once, some of them made it very clear that if I wanted, a little something, they would go for it. And I was shocked by this, and just with the frequency that this was happening. And just to what you were saying about whether it's something, whether it's an underlying cause, an underlying theme, or whether Facebook makes it possible, I think it is an underlying theme, but Facebook makes it so easy. It's anonymous. You can send emails to people. You have this idea of the people that you knew from 20 years ago, and they're completely different people at this point. But
yeah, somebody may be an underlying problem in the marriage, but this sort of greases the wheels to make it easier to do something about it.
Yeah, because it's virtually anonymous. I mean, you know the person, but you don't know the person, and it's you can send the message out, but it can be either rejected or not, and it's really almost no harm, no foul. But again, it was becoming a reoccurring theme that, and also with the last segment about the Time Magazine article, I was thinking to myself, does anyone have a happy marriage? Because my male friends would tell me how unhappy they were, my female friends would tell me how unhappy they were, and they seemed to want to get out.
That might be next year's survey in Time Magazine. Who knows? Joe, thank you very much. Catherine in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
How you doing? I've been I'm married to my husband for 10 years, and I had a Facebook account that I opened up basically to stay connected with family members that moved away, like Florida, and to share pictures and stuff. And then I hooked up with some of my friends from high school, and shortly after that, I received like 3 invitations, to chat or whatever with people, old flings, Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen back to back, but over a course of a couple of months, and I decided that I didn't want to go down that route, and so I just decided to pull my whole page all together. So.
Uh-huh. So Facebook had become too much of guys approaching you for Facebook to even be fun for you.
Exactly. That wasn't the purpose why I intended it, and I just felt like it was turning into something else, and I didn't even want to go down that road. So, I mean, there's a lot of other things you can do if you want to share photos. There's Shutterfly, there's Kodak, there's all kinds of things to do that. And so I'm still able to do that, mm-hmm. but I don't have that worry that, you know, somebody's going to try to contact me and try to reignite some old flames. That's not my interest. So.
So would you go so far as this pastor in New Jersey who was in the news who said, once you get married, you should just delete your Facebook account?
No, I think it's an individual choice. I mean, I think there's no perfect marriage, and there's always, especially times in the marriage when, you know, you're stressed out or whatever and you want to reach out to people. And sometimes it does make you feel good mm-hmm. to hear from either somebody else who's in a marriage is not doing as well or somebody right. who still has an interest in you. And I think that that's where the temptation comes in. But it's not real. It's like he said, these people are not even the same people that they were 10, 15 years ago. So it's an image in your mind, and it's not real, and it's not even worth going down that route.
Thank you very much. Imagine all the fantasies that must be broken and smashed, Alton, when people who are 45 years old get together with these people who they fantasized about in high school, and now they have an opportunity to meet.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was looking at photographs of my 40th high school reunion online, and I said, when did everybody get so old?
Well, there we have to leave it with Alton Abramowitz, National Vice President of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. 80% of divorce lawyers surveyed by them say they've seen an increase in the number of cases using social media evidence in the past 5 years. And as a last word, some of our Facebook fans commented about the idea of a Facebook official relationship. Changing your relationship status on Facebook seems to hold a lot of weight right now. Someone wrote, we're seeing each other, but it's not like we're Facebook official. And Carolita wrote on her Facebook page, I pretty much hide everything from the general public, but do allow my relationship status to be seen so there can be no misunderstandings. Alton, thanks a lot.
Right. Thank you for having me. We really appreciate it.
Listeners, thank you. Talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.